So what is the best way to introduce new technology to your congregation or your school? We're going to talk about that and a lot more, including a new Twitter account for Wells Tech. It's only been 5.5 years, about time. And we also have a wealth of excellent listener feedback. All that and more coming up. Stay tuned. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody, to Wells Tech, a show where we talk about technology and ministry and where those two meet. This is episode 285, recorded on April 23rd, 2013. And joining me, as usual, Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. Happy to be joining you. This is a great day for us here in Sleepy Eye. We're hosting the MLC Women's Auxiliary at our church tonight for their springtime meeting. So I got my springtime jacket on despite the snow and the two-hour late start for MBL this morning.
You know, I'm so tired of talking about the weather.
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Somebody said, how can you have a winter storm watch in the spring? But yeah, I think we kind of opted out of spring. We just skipped it.
A spring storm watch.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know. I guess things could be worse. Yes. Things could be worse. Yeah. We have a roof over our heads and we get to record this show every week. So what could be better than that?
That's a blessing. It's a blessing to have a great audience of Wells Tech listeners who make the show what it is, too.
Yep. 285 times. We're creeping up on that show number 300. I can't believe we're only 15 shows away, and we're going to do that together out there in hopefully sunny New Ulm out there in late July. It better not be, we better not have any watches whatsoever.
We're having a 300th anniversary party right there in the middle of Synod Convention. Looking forward to that broadcast for sure.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see some listeners there. I bet we do that are delegates at the convention there. So
should be fun.
Well, we're going to talk about a topic that comes up fairly regularly on the show, both via questions, but also then in our own minds as we're working in and with our own congregations. And that is how to introduce technology to maybe those who are resistant to change, maybe a little bit afraid of what's going on within the church and how technology is changing the landscape on how we communicate or how we worship. And before we jump into that topic, we maybe want to listen to a couple guys who have been doing this for a number of years, Jason Petoskey and Steve Schamber from, where are they from?
Holy Trinity in Wyoming, Michigan, near Grand Rapids.
Yep. Both are, I think, frequent watchers or viewers of the show. And the topic was a worship technology that they've put in place there at their church and have been using for a number of years now. So these guys speak from experience about how to introduce that to a congregation. So let's play that interview and then we'll come back and chat a little bit about it. Happy to have joining us today from Wyoming, Michigan, Holy Trinity's pastor, Steve Schamber. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you.
Good and to be here. And also Jason Petoskey, also from Holy Trinity. And he told me to introduce him as Class Clown or, you know, other various monikers. But really, he's a tech coordinator there, dedicated layman, and longtime listener of the show and owner of a Wells Tech branded flip camera. Welcome, Jason.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Why don't you take a couple minutes, each of you, if you would just do a brief introduction of yourself, and then we'll get into the reason that we've got you on the show. Steve, you want to go first?
All right. I'm Steve Schamber. I'm pastor here at Holy Trinity in Wyoming. That's a suburb of Grand Rapids, Michigan. I've been here 8 years. I like to do all kinds of things. Tech is one of my big hobbies, so I used to always build my own computers. Now that the laptop era is firmly in place, I don't do that quite as much, but I'm into all kinds of techie stuff. I also do some woodworking, and wintertime, it's been a little long this year, which is good because I like to ski. So that's kind of who I am, I guess.
Very good. And Jason, how about you?
I'm Jason Metosky. Been here at Holy Trinity for about 8 years now. I'm going to be 9 this coming June. Enjoy working on computers. If I'm not working on computers, I'm at church or I'm spending time with my family. I'm currently studying for the staff ministry cert program, doing that remotely, which eventually will lead into some other things, but help out here with various duties, such as reading the sermon if the pastor is gone, and help put the worship service together for the screen.
Very good. Now, you and my daughter have something in common, Jason. You're both in the staff ministry program, so she's going the more traditional route. But very good. Thanks again for both of you for joining it. To both of you for joining us. We wanted to spend a little bit of time talking about. The topic of our show this week is introducing technology to congregation members. Some are obviously a little bit quicker, in adopting different technologies. Some are a little bit slower. But you you use a technology that I think a lot of congregations are considering, and that is presentation technology, especially within the worship service. And you shared some information recently on the Wells Tech listserv about a product that you use called Proclaim, and I think that's a product of Logos. Perhaps you can set the stage for us a little bit by telling us about the worship setting, maybe at Holy Trinity, what the sanctuary's setup is and the tech setup, and how you've kind of integrated this this presentation technology into worship at Holy Trinity.
Okay. Our worship setting is we have kind of the semicircle style of building rather than the two long rows of pews. As you look at the altar, there are the two rows going down the center aisle, and then there is a seating section over to the left side. There used to be more of a seating section to the right side also, but we have converted that. The organ is now there, as well as the piano. The choir sits in that area, facing the congregation when the choir is going to sing. And behind the choir seats is where the soundboard is for the sound system, as well as the video presentation stuff. And that's where then the person sits who's controlling the Proclaim software for the service. We started using the presentation software probably about 5 years ago. It wasn't Proclaim then. It was Easy Worship. With Easy Worship, Jason had to put the whole service together every week, because it had to, it was a program that resided on one machine. You had one license for the thing. And, so one person had to be pretty much in charge of getting everything organized and together. So I almost never used the software for anything during the sermon. We really made minimal use of it in those days. The hymns, the psalm, sometimes the readings as we went along a little longer. And then Proclaim entered its beta period in November of 2011. And we tried it out while it was in beta because it was free. And it was so much easier to get everything all set up that we started using it right away and encouraged the congregation to buy it. And we've never looked back. We've been using that for our presentation or for our worship software ever since. It makes it so that Jason, again, puts many of the things together, but the secretary puts in the announcements that we play post-service. I put together the sermon section. I do that in PowerPoint and then upload the PowerPoint to Proclaim because that lets it be one item in the Proclaim list. and I can do all kinds of things within that one item. And then I also choose a background for kind of an introductory slide for the day, and I set that background for the secretary to put all the announcements in. So it's really easy to be able to do it from multiple locations, multiple times. Whenever any of us has time, we jump on, do our part, and it all syncs up with the servers on the cloud, the Logos servers on the cloud. I'm sure it missed a bunch.
My question is, do you use bulletins at all, or do you use this throughout the whole service and go completely paperless with your worship?
Currently, we're still using the bulletins, but we're going to start going printing less bulletins, and we're also starting to get more of the worship service involved. Currently, for like this coming week, we're using the new service setting for Divine Service 2, and this is the first time that we've actually put the whole entire service up on the screen. Usually, we'll put everything for like service of the word, more of the common services, we put everything up with the exception of the prayer of the church. So it's become fun, and it's a great way, too, if we have guests. One thing I heard was that guests would always get lost somewhere in the service of flipping back and forth. Well, this is a great way for them to see it up on the screen and be able to follow along. Or if you have a mom with a newborn or a little one that, well, let's face it, parents have their hands full with kiddos. Sometimes it's easier, instead of holding that hymnal, they can just look up at the screen.
Yeah, I love keeping my head up during worship and kind of heads-up display approach, and that I think that really keeps me more engaged in the service. Obviously, a question that most people would have, or most leaders would have, worship leaders, is, you know, what if the technology goes awry? You know, how do you handle that, especially if you go without a bulletin? You know, if things aren't working, the projector bulb, you know, goes out. You know, for whatever reason, things aren't working. What then?
Yeah, we haven't had that happen yet. The projector bulb power hasn't gone out, that kind of thing. I guess that would be a problem, since even our piano is an electronic piano, so we don't even have a piano sitting there. We have one in the back of the church in the balcony, so we could still carry on. We just switch to tell them to pull out the hymnal and that kind of thing, but...
Well, if the projector would go, we do have a second projector here that we can bring up and put up there.
We could wheel it up, yeah.
And use it that way. But, yeah, sometimes it is kind of funny, because there will be some, like if I make a mistake, which does happen from time to time, I'll put in the wrong hymn and or I'll forget a verse of the hymn, and people will be singing, and all of a sudden the screen goes blank, and everybody's like, it gets real quiet, and everybody picks up the hymnal real quick. Open up, okay, here we go. So it does happen every so often, where some stuff does get forgotten, but we recover very quickly.
Yeah, and that's great to have a congregation that is kind of malleable, flexible too, and they understand how things go. So
now
that you've been doing this for five years, how much extra time do you estimate it takes to add this enhancement to your worship?
When I first started putting stuff in with Easy Worship, it was taking me probably an hour to 2 hours every time I'd have to go in and get everything going. With Proclaim, I've gotten it down to now probably a half an hour, if that. Putting together this week's service for Divine Service 2, it took me probably 45 minutes.
And that was with nothing in place previously. We kind of save our, like the common service, we save that template and just change the hymns and change the other things for the day, the church year. But we leave all the stuff in place for the liturgical parts and the liturgical songs. Those are all in there, so we can just plug in the hymns that are different and the lessons that are different. But even setting up, like Jason said, setting up the whole service from scratch was still 45 minutes. Is that what you said?
Yep.
So I would guess your part of it then probably the weekly basis takes about 15, 20 minutes.
15 to 20 minutes.
Not bad.
And awesome. Me setting up a whole PowerPoint for the sermon takes about 10, 15 minutes.
Okay. And I'm just kind of paging through the software. It seems like it would be really intuitive to use just from a novice looking at it. We're looking at a preview screen now, so you can see each of the slides and the way they're going to project. But when you switch to edit, you can see groupings of things like your readings or whatever spill over to multiple slides. You can see them as a group and obviously be able to go in and make edits to those as needed or copy and paste in new content or whatever. So it seems pretty straightforward.
Yep, and Sally, the nice part about that too is it gives you an idea of what the words are going to look like on the screen. So that way, they're big enough because in case a member has a hard time seeing or something like that, you can make if you add extra spaces, it'll actually increase the font of the slide. And I've talked with a couple of those members, and they said they love it because they can see it. The nice part, too, is we can also change the backgrounds to the hymn slides and Bible verses. That way, if in case somebody is visually challenged, it makes it easier for them to see. So it works out really nice.
Lots of flexibility. In your listserv comments, Pastor, you talked about being able to control it with your iPhone or some other device.
Yeah, I'm an Android guy. So
that's what I meant. You're Android. That's what I said.
There's an Android app, and there's also an iPhone app. So that lets me, the screen is right above the pulpit. So what's projecting is behind me. The Android app and the iPhone app works the same way. Shows you the screen you're on and kind of a half a slide above that and a half a slide below that so that you can kind of see what's coming next and what went before. And if everything is working correctly, it shows you what you're on. It lets you change slides from that app also. But I always have a PowerPoint clicker in the pulpit anyway, because sometimes we've been having, I'm not sure whether it's router problems or what our problem is, but sometimes the router seems to drop the computer from its connection, and then that app won't connect because it's tied to the Logos server. That's how it finds out what slide we're on. So then I have to use the clicker, which then I just have to know where I am and maybe sometimes glance up behind me to see whether I'm where I think I am. But when that app is working right, which is most of the time, it really is nice to be able to see what is behind me and make sure that I am where I plan to be. So
like your little teleprompter there.
Yeah, yeah. And then that app will install on a tablet or on a tablet for iPhone or Android. So you can have it a fairly good size that you can really see what's up there if you need to. They actually have the app set now so that you can put notes to the slide. So you could presumably do a sermon from nothing but the presentation software. I don't do that at this point. I think it's just one long giant section of notes. So I didn't like the way that works out. I actually put my sermon on a tablet, and then I put highlights in various places where I have to change the slide so that I know where that is coming up, which means that I have to stick a little closer than I may be used to where I am, so that I am where I'm supposed to be, since it's kind of hard to jump slides. You can, but it's a little difficult when you're going through the middle of the sermon. So
Jason, I assume that normally you're manning the rest of the service, so you're advancing slides, correct?
Correct. What I do is we've got a group of volunteers of about five different guys that we set up a schedule on a rotation. And each one takes a Sunday, and if one of them can't be there, or say, for example, it's my Sunday and there's nobody here to help me with that, somebody else will jump in. There have been even times where I've taken my tablet and sat in the back of the church and controlled it from the back, so I'm not even up by the soundboard, so I can help usher. So it's pretty nice having a good group of volunteers for it. I'd like to see it grow a little bit more, but it works right now for what we need.
Sure, sure. Mm-hmm. So the app does not need to be connected to the internet to actually function, correct?
Yes, it does.
It does.
It does.
Yes. Okay.
That's the big thing.
So there's no local copy that it stores in case you lose internet or whatever.
The computer does. So the computer synchronizes, and then the whole presentation is on the computer. So if you lose the internet,
right,
the computer is still going to be able to present. That's why I use the clicker so much, that just in case the computer drops the internet or the phone drops the internet, I can still click through the slides. The computer still has all of them there. So the program is still going to be active, but that connection is important if you want to be able to see on the tablet or the phone device what's going on.
Sure.
One more note that you sent me, Pastor, was about this Graceway Media site. Apparently it's connected to the Proclaim software, and you can subscribe and bring in either still images or video clips easily into your presentation from Gateway Media. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, we had started that, I guess, before Proclaim came out. It was called something different. I don't remember what it was called then, but they have thousands of slides. So they have a number of them that follow the lectionary. Then they also have a number that just follow various kinds of events of the church year or just events of a congregation's life. So you can choose all kinds of backgrounds from there. The lectionary slides that follow the sermon, I guess you could use those if we wanted to. We could use those with the readings for each day. We could pick a background that goes with each reading. There's always a main slide that kind of has a title, or you can get it without the title. But then there's always another slide that's designed to have plenty of words on it so that you have room to put your Bible passage or whatever else you want to put on that slide. So when you subscribe to Graceway Media, you enter that information in Proclaim. There's a section when you pull down your name after you've logged in. You pull down by your name, and you can, let's see, it's the link third-party accounts when you pull down that mm-hmm. section. And that lets you link your Graceway Media account. If you have CCLI Song Select, it lets you link that also. We have CCLI, but not the Song Select, because we don't use the CCLI that much. We use OneLicense.net much more. So those are the two things for copyright issues. But they only have the one built into Proclaim. Graceway Media is built into Proclaim. So when you click on backgrounds, if you've entered your Graceway Media account information, anytime you click on background, it lets you start typing in something that finds all the various backgrounds that are available for that. Sometimes they don't have them all, because I don't know how they update. You know, I'm sure they have to have some bot or something that has to collect the information from Graceway Media's site to put it into Proclaim so that it finds all your backgrounds. But most of them are there most of the time, so it's really easy that way to find a background that works for you. We have always one for please silence your cell phone before mm-hmm. the service starts. And then there are various other ones that we use, Happy Easter kind of things that's available, all kinds of things like that, 4th of July, all the events of the calendar year are there sure. too.
So both Proclaim and Graceway Media are licensed products. You don't buy them with one set fee. You pay for them annually. Is that correct? Mm-hmm.
Graceway Media is $249 a year, I believe, just for the stills.
Okay.
If you want both stills and motion things from Graceway Media, I think $399. We don't use the motion that much, so we didn't bother buying it. Usually if we want to use something motion, I think you can buy one. I know we got a couple credits from them once or twice, so we could grab one or two through a credit system and have one motion thing. But we haven't done too much with motion so far.
Mm-hmm. And then on the Proclaim side, it was pretty neat that the software is actually free, and you can have as many collaborators to produce your media as needed within your congregation. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes. We can sign up as many as we need. So I sent Sally an invitation so that she can sign up and as she's done here, pop into our content and put it up on the screen and show what we have. And yeah, you see there the pricing structure, various pricings for the size of your congregation, and the size is based on attendance, not communicant membership or soul membership or anything like that.
Okay.
So, Steve and Jason, what advice maybe would you give to other congregations considering using worship technology like this, you know, the screen and a product like Proclaim? Any suggestions on how they might introduce this to the congregation, steps they might take to make this a smooth thing and adopted?
The one thing I would the couple things I would suggest is if you have somebody who's strongly against it, sit down with them, find out why they're against it. Because we had one member who was pretty well against it, and we actually included him in the process of this, because in that way he could see what was going on and how it would look and give us his feedback. And now it's up. He loves it, and he can't think of not having the service. The other thing is introduce it to the congregation slowly. Don't just go all out and put everything up on the screen, because some members may not like that, because you still do have your traditional ones that do like the hymnals. As even though it's up there, I still use the hymnal. I still like it. So little by little, just introduce it. And a lot will also depend on the pastor. How comfortable is the pastor using this technology? And make sure that they're on board with it and just get it little by little. Because when we started with Easy Worship, it was like, okay, we're going to do the hymns. Hey, pastor, how about if I put some up on the screen behind you during your sermon? Sure, not a problem. What are you putting up there?
I really didn't think that I would use it very often for sermons. I thought that, you know, once in a great while I would put something up there. But now I've been in the habit of putting every passage that I quote during the course of the sermon on the screen. And if there's too much time between passages that I quote, then I put up a main background with the theme of the sermon on there in between, so that there's something up there, but there's not something, I hope, that's distracting. And the members have really said they really enjoy having the passages up there that I'm referring to. It gives them a visual as well as something to listen to. And if that passage really grabs them, they can quick write it down too and look at it later. When we get all of this, we have a screen out in our narthex area that also has some stuff going, but it's not completely tied together. So there is the ability with Proclaim to let people follow the presentation with Logos Bible software, and if you've gone to a passage, it will just automatically take you there. We have not told anybody that exists because we have two presentations to follow all the time, the one in the narthex and the one in the church. Eventually, we'll have those two tied together, and then we'll test that maybe with Jason following it on the tablet to see that it works the way we think it will, and then we'll announce that too, that people can log on to our network, and then they'll be able to follow the presentation going to their Bible software on their tablet or phone as they wish to follow it too. So I think it's been very, you know, like I said, I was thinking that I might not use it that much, but I have really gotten to love it. I enjoy doing the sermon that way too. So
sweet. Thank you guys. That sounds like a great ministry tool within your congregation, and that there's great adoption, and it's been a blessing to you and your flock there. So thank you for sharing that insight. I think that's helpful for people considering this. And as they consider it, I'm sure they will kind of take a similar approach where they're starting slow and small and, you know, trying to address any objections up front, because obviously you don't want it to be a negative or something that is going to be a barrier between the worshiper and and them getting worship. So
yeah,
I guess one other thing that I wanted to mention was the hymnal, HymnSoft. You kind of have to have HymnSoft in order to get the words from the hymnal to put them on the screen. And HymnSoft has its own set of unique challenges since it's an aging software to make it work on your Windows 7 machine or something like that to get those words off of there. But it can be done, and that's what we use. We don't have to type all the hymns or anything like that.
Very good. And there's a new version on the way, so hopefully that will make things a lot better for everybody. Once again, Jason, Steve, thank you so much for your time. Blessings on your work there, and have a blessed weekend worth of worship.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Have a good afternoon.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Steve, for taking the time to walk us through some of your experiences with a piece of software that looks pretty valuable, Sally, for congregations using screens and using that kind of technology within the worship experience.
Yeah, it definitely was easy for me to install and immediately begin to make sense of it. It's pretty intuitive and straightforward to work with. So I think, you know, you get a few of those tech enthusiasts like Jason, what a blessing in a congregation. And it's a minimal amount of time. I think he said he spends maybe 15 or 20 minutes a week putting together the presentation pieces, and then a great team of volunteers to run the presentations, and sounds like a wonderful solution for them there at Holy Trinity.
Yeah, and it certainly didn't come together all by itself. There was some measured approaches and strategic conversations that they had, and it seems like it's been well accepted and adopted there, and the Lord is blessing their work. That's not to say that it's a real easy thing to introduce new technology like this and other things into worship or into a congregation. And there's all kinds of material out there, online suggestions. I ran across a blog post by actually a consultant, Lynette Hawkins, and I did a little bit of review of her website. She's actually got some very good stuff here, and she kind of is a leadership consultant, but does a lot of stuff with nonprofits and churches. And she put together a little blog post here called Six Lessons Learned About Introducing Technology in Multi-Generation Congregations, and I would say that our congregations probably fit that bill. So we'll share this in the show notes, but I thought it might be valuable for our conversation just to go through her six lessons, because I think they're worth kind of talking about between the two of us here. Number one was determine a plan before you start, before setting up screens or eliminating the printed version of a newsletter. Plan how this change should happen. Answer these questions, and then she's got three questions. Why is the newer format or technology, whatever, website needed? How will members and the congregation benefit? Cost savings? Is it quicker, more opportunity to communicate? And then what is the best timing based on budget and life of the congregation? Good first question, Sally.
Definitely. And I think this would be a great time to establish a communication committee if you don't have one. So it's not just one person asking those questions or the pastor trying to evaluate this effort, but it's a group of people with a lot of different backgrounds who are going to have different perspectives on it. You mentioned at the start of the show that sometimes there's resistance to change or, you know, a group that really doesn't want to introduce technology. But there's also just people that don't comprehend it or don't get it and who would like to go that route, but need some time to understand, you know, what it can do for you and how it works and, you know, just to develop a comfort level. So like I said, having a lot of different representation in a communications kind of committee to tackle some of these questions and plan on the front end is really important.
Yep. The second one she references, and this is something that Stephen and Jason alluded to as well, share the vision for this newer technology as well as its biblical basis. So explain the change by reminding the membership of the congregation's vision and how this is further illustrated in Scripture. For example, how does this change impact the congregation's ability to even be more faithful to the Great Commission? So, again, this is, you know, communicating. How does this fit in with what we're doing as a church and what God has called us to do?
Right. And, you know, obviously the verse, being all things to all people, comes to mind. And you know, technology is one of those things. It's right. Not saying that we're throwing everything out besides the technology approach. It's saying this is another channel that we can share the good news. Yep. And yeah, it's just getting people's comfort level and understanding of the biblical basis, I think, is a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Number three was initially position the change as an addition versus an elimination. So instead of totally eliminating printed bulletins and newsletters cold turkey, are there ways to transition with both print and electronic? For example, some congregations have maintained a stash of printed newsletters for people without email while moving to an e-version. And I see this going on in a lot of our churches right now, Sally.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to address it. And, you know, like I said, being all things to all people, it may be that you never fully eliminate the print versions, but you certainly can cut back. You can also benefit from the speed of electronic communication, the fact that you can, you know, be in contact with your membership during the week, not just on Sunday when you hand them the bulletin.
Yep. Number four, train members how to use new tools. So offer classes like Facebook for beginners or email made simple to make it easier. Consider involving the youth group in training on texting, Facebook and email. Do not assume the objections are because members do not like the new medium. Some people simply do not know how to use the tools. I think that's great advice.
Yeah, and it's a fun thing to do. I've done some classes like
you've
that.
You've done a lot of that. Mm-hmm.
In our congregation, and people really appreciate it. You know, it kind of breaks down some barriers and connects older with younger generations and all that kind of stuff. I think everybody's interested. It's just a matter of, you know, giving it to them at their comfort level, not being an intimidating environment, but, you know, teaching it to them so that, and you know, you can bill it as, part of the Great Commission, you know, learn these mm-hmm. tools and share your faith more online. And I think everybody's got contacts and wants to do that kind of thing.
Yep, that's cool. I think that's a great idea. Number five, ease into big changes and allow time for preparation. So if you're planning to move to a paperless congregation, make plans, obviously, for the transition. Allow time for people to become accustomed to the operation of screens before you totally get rid of bulletins. So this is kind of a common sense item here, but sometimes we're just so eager to get to where we know we want to go that we get there a little bit faster than we should, and we don't make all the preparations that we should.
Sure, you could always force their hand and go paperless, and you might end up with some unhappy people. Mm-hmm. And so this way, you
that's
know,
hard you're to kind recover of from yeah.
the best of both worlds, and you know, taking it slow. I know we read church history for one of our anniversaries just not too long ago, and they talked about 40 years that it took them to go from being a German language congregation to an English language. So, I mean, that's easing into things over 40 years. That's about the speed that we like to go in Sleepy Eye, at least.
Right. You got to be patient. Yeah, absolutely. and then the final lesson learned was learn from each introduction. Always take a moment to look at what happened. Ask your leadership team these questions. What worked well? What could have been done better? How will you use the learning for the next change? So it's always a learning process. Get to know your congregation. Know, you know, what the best approach might be for a majority of the members there. And just make sure that you're making those corrections as you're introducing, you know, different things as you go forward.
Right. You got to do something in order to, you know, evaluate and see if it was the best approach and if you want to continue that route or change things up. But yeah, give it a try. And there's lots of things you can do without going with a full-blown worship presentation like Pastor Chamber and Jason talked about. I mean, you could start with just the announcements or just showing the Wells Connection videos, that kind of thing on a screen. You know, obviously there's a lot of effort that just goes into doing the basics. You've got to set up screens and projection that that is adequate for your space that you're worshiping. And I know, you know, I've seen a variety of Wells churches, and the architecture isn't always the greatest for adding a screen up front somewhere to mm-hmm. some of the layouts. So there's a lot of, you know, hardware kind of stuff. If you want to do anything internet connected, for instance, the Proclaim software they talked about needs an internet connection typically, you know, you're going to need to work on wiring for internet. And, you know, obviously you could go wireless, but you might want a more secure hardwired connection if you're really relying on it during worship and things. So do your homework and start slowly and build from there.
Yeah, another great reason to do a lot of planning and to go slow and to start small is because whenever you introduce a new technology, the one thing you really have to do is do it well, because you've really only got one shot at that first impression, that introduction. And if it's kind of hacked together and you're hoping things work and you're a little bit unsure and the congregation senses that, they're not going to be as committed to it or be enthused by the prospects of it if they can't realize the possibilities of it. So don't just kind of dip your toe in the water, so to speak, but take the time to do it right, do it well, and then build off of that.
Definitely. Great advice, Martin.
Shall we move on, Sally, to the next segment of the show, which would be news and tech.
News and tech.
What's going on in the tech world?
A little techie news, being that it is Tuesday, April 23rd, I thought I'd share the fact this is a special day for many because this has been deemed World Book Night in the United States.
I did not know that.
A neat program. I should have talked about it months ago, but months ago, you could sign up to be a book giver. And this nonprofit organization distributes free books, 20 titles to each person who signed up and was approved. And the idea is that you give them away to people that aren't real strong readers. And so you promote reading by giving away a free book. And they had a list of 20 or so books that you could request. And it's no guarantee you request like three different titles and they hopefully give you one of those titles. And then bookstores all across the nation were drop-off zones, basically. They ship to bookstores and then you go and pick up your box of books. And then on April 23rd, today, you give away your 20 books to people to encourage reading. So I know it was funny. I kind of tweeted about this or something, or maybe I saw a tweet. But Rachel Pearson, our Wells Tech friend, is a book giver as well, I found out through Twitter and stuff. So here's my box of books. I signed up for it, like I said, probably 6 months ago and kind of forgot about it. And then all of a sudden I started getting emails and I was selected to give away a book called Favorite American Poems. And it's a collection of poetry. It has Casey at the Bat. It has Edgar Allan Poe's Raven in it. It has Paul Revere's Ride and a lot of other great poems and stuff. And so I'm going to give away some in our school. I'm going to give away some tonight at the MLC Ladies event. I'm looking forward to giving away 20 free copies of Favorite American Poems. And they have all different kinds of books. You know, kind of current bestsellers. They have children's books like The Phantom Toll Booth and The Lightning King were on the list this year. And, you know, just a variety. They have some in Spanish, all different kinds. They kind of redo the cover. You know, you're not supposed to sell these books at all. So they put the cover, but then it says World Book Nights on the bottom of the book cover. And it has a list of all the books that are being given away. Has a little description of World Book Night inside the cover there. And I think it's just a really cool program. So I thought it was worth sharing. And hopefully next year I'll be a little bit more proactive and give you the link when it's the time of year to sign up to be a book giver. And maybe we'll grow it and have more Wells Tech book givers next year.
I assume they have some kind of mailing list you can get on that, you know, when it comes around, you'd be notified and could jump right on it too. So
yeah, makes sense.
Awesome.
Yeah. A neat program, I thought.
Awesome. Okay. Let's move on to our picks of the week. Sally, what have you got this week?
And it's my turn again. Let me share my screen because I want to share with you a website I found to generate Keep Calm posters. I don't know if you guys have seen these or not, but it's kind of an internet meme these days, these Keep Calm and whatever it may be. I made a Keep Calm poster. It says Keep Calm and Listen to Wells Tech. So if you're interested, you can download and use our Keep Calm and Listen to Wells Tech poster that we'll have available.
We need our own notes. Keep Calm poster some week, Sally.
Definitely. Keep calm and
deep breaths.
And keep broadcasting. Interesting story behind the whole Keep Calm thing. And there's a video on YouTube that I'll link to, but this was a propaganda poster from World War II that was created in England to be shared by the British government to kind of steal the spirits when it was hard times or whatever. As it turns out, they created three of them. One of them said, freedom is in peril, defend it with all your might. One said, your courage, your cheerfulness, your resolution will bring us victory. And then the third one was, keep calm and carry on, I think it said. Mm-hmm. And that third one never got distributed, right. And it was kind of found about 60 years later, and then it became this meme that people have copied in various ways. So on this website, you can actually take the Keep Calm and then you can enter, listen to Wells Tech, for instance, and then you can pick whatever background color you want for your poster. A nice Wells Tech blue, and then you just click create and your image is created, and you can right click and save it to your computer. So share it wherever you want. Definitely pin it. That's a very popular thing, to pin these Keep Calm posters. But I think it's a cool thing, and I thought maybe teachers might enjoy using it with their classroom or something. It's a popular thing and fun to share. So
yeah, be sure to watch the video. It's very informative. I had no idea. I'd seen the meme and didn't quite fall to what it was until I actually watched the video. But it's pretty cool.
It is. So, all right, your turn, Martin. You have a pick for us?
My turn. Let me share my screen here. I am picking, this is a hardware pick of sorts this week, and many of our listeners use smartphones, and many of our listeners use smartphones in the car for GPS or whatever, and that's what I do. And I ran across a little car mount holder that and a fairly reasonably priced one for $19.99 on Amazon, called the iAuti One Touch Windshield / Dashboard Car Mount Holder. I recently purchased a new car, and the windshield on my new car is pretty far away from the driver. So my old car mount wouldn't work. I'd have to reach too far to get at the phone. So I needed something that would mount on the dash. And most car mounts don't do a very good job, especially with the changing temperatures and, in our kind of extreme climates with the extreme cold and the warm and the humidity and whatever. I had trouble in the past getting anything to stick to the dashboard. But this one advertises itself as being able to stick to almost any surface. And I guess I believe it because I've tried it now for the past couple months and it works beautifully. The suction cup on it will adhere, of course, to the windshield, but it'll also adhere to any flat surface on the dash or even slightly curved surface on the dash. And so that this one is no exception. And this one is very sticky. And the mechanism works really, really kind of slick as well. To get it to the phone to stick on the mount, you simply have to push it, and there's a little button, on the face of the mount where the little pinchers close automatically as you push it in, and then there's two little buttons on the side that spring it open. So it's kind of a spring-loaded deal. So it's adjustable. So up and down, side to side, very sturdy, and I haven't had any any real issues with it. And I think it's a very good buy for the price. As you can see, if you're looking at the screen, they're showing it holding up a bowling ball, for instance, and how to adjust it and so on and so forth. So that is my pick of the week for $19.99, the iAuti One Touch windshield / dashboard car mount holder. And it'll fit most smartphones.
Awesome. Well, thanks for sharing. We had a discussion in our pre-show planning about Minnesota state laws, because there was a time when we first moved to Minnesota where we couldn't mount our GPS on our windshield. It was against the law. They didn't want anything to impair the driver's vision. But right. They have changed the laws. I clarified that. And so that's a good thing, because I think GPS is definitely technology that will help us as drivers. And so... good thing.
To take that a little bit further, some states, I think California is one of them, that recently passed a law where you can't even touch your phone while you're driving. So it really has to be truly hands-free or voice activated. So, I think that's probably coming to a lot of different states. So just keep that in mind, that most smartphones these days can be voice activated or voice controlled, but the states are cracking down just because of the proliferation of texting while driving accidents, and, you know, people just being totally distracted while they're on the road. So I think that's actually a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. All right.
Moving right along.
Wells Tech features for this week. We have a lot of things going on with Wells Tech. So I wanted to just quickly show you a couple of new things with Wells Tech. One is that... after 5.5 years of broadcasting, we decided it was time to get on the Twitter bandwagon. This Twitter thing seems to be like not going away, Martin. So.
It's here to stay.
Yeah.
At least for a few more years.
So in the past, we obviously maintain our own Twitter accounts, and that's what we've kind of connected to Wells Tech. But now we have an official Wells Tech Twitter account. You can find us at twitter.com/WellsTech, and we invite you to follow us. We'll do our best to give you teasers for upcoming shows, and for the Wells Tech Camp, you'll be the first to know about all the exciting planning we're doing for that event, that kind of thing.
Very good.
Check it out. Also, speaking of the Wells Tech Camp, there's now an official Wells Tech Camp event on Facebook. I knew you guys were waiting for this, and here it is. So if you plan to join us, you can actually get event details. There's a link for tickets, and you can just tell us and share on Facebook that you're going to be there. So check it out. We'll have a link in the show notes to the Wells Tech Camp event on Facebook.
We should maybe explain a little bit about what Wells Tech Camp is, Sally. What do you think?
What a concept. Wells Tech Camp is an event coming up on September 14th to be held at Martin Luther College. And it is an unconference. It's a day when we will get together as a group. We'll determine what we want to talk about, and we'll divide up into rooms and have great discussion around ministry technology topics. MLC is gracious enough to host us. We're going to provide free food and giveaway items from sponsors, and we just want you to come and be a part of it. It should be a lot of fun. You can learn more at wellstechcamp.wikispaces.com. I had to think for a minute.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or just go to the Facebook page.
Yep. That'll work too.
Okay, good.
One more Wells Tech promo, and this is an update to our website. If you head over to our resources page, you'll find that we've put together a lot more resources for you, kind of compilation things, like if you want to find all the shows where we've had guest hosts, Gail Potratz or Jason Schmidt, you can click to a link to those. Summaries of all of our book discussions, links to all of those, links to different series, the Wells Hacker series or the Wells Tech Road Trip series, whatever those may be of interest. We still have ebooks here, hoping to add a new ebook this summer to this page. Just a little teaser there for you. Mm-hmm. We have information on our Christian worship lectionary calendar that's available in Google Calendar. And then we're going to start building a history of all of our different past interviews on the show. So the resources page got a huge bump up, and we hope that it's a help to our listeners.
And kudos to Sally for all of that. I had nothing to do with it, so thank you, Sally.
Oh, you had something to do with it. You told me more work to put on there.
So. Well, you asked. So.
Yes, I did. So, and if, yeah, I should ask our listeners as well, if there's resources you'd like to have easy access to, let us know and we can add it to our resources page.
Yep. So. Sally, there's something of interest that we want to share with the class. And that is something coming out of the Christ in Media Institute, right?
That's right. Coming up this week, this coming Monday night, April 29th, to kick off Media Week at Bethany Lutheran College, there's going to be a really neat event. It's called Crowdsourced Screenwriting. Never heard of that before. And what exactly that means, I guess you have to come and find out. But the idea is that they're going to release a beginning idea for a television series. And they're going to release the idea on Sunday night, the night before this event, so people have time to think about it. And then people are going to come together at Bethany on Monday the 29th, or virtually, they're going to stream the event and you can join in that way. And they're going to work collaboratively, there you go, to create a story framework for a TV series. And all of this, I'm so excited, is being led by Jazz Lundquist. Martin, you and I met Jazz last fall at the Christ in Media Institute conference that was held at Bethany. She's a Hollywood screenwriter, the real deal, coming in special to lead this event at Bethany. It sounds like a lot of fun, and I just couldn't miss out on the fun. So I'm hoping to be there in person, and I'll bring you more information about it next Tuesday on the show. Maybe.
Yeah, this should be very cool. I actually was at the Christ in Media board meeting a couple weekends ago and heard the scenario that they're going to put in front of you guys.
Oh.
So it'd be very cool. So I think
very
you'll enjoy
exciting.
It.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It should come out on Sunday. So you can follow it on Facebook, I think, and get the scenario and other information. We'll have links in the show notes if you want to participate. There's lots of ways.
Very good.
Yep.
Sally, we have a lot of community feedback, so we better rip through this.
Yep. I love our listeners. Starting with the fact that there was a Wells Ed Twitter chat last Thursday night. They're planning another one for Thursday, May 2nd at 8 p.m. This one was really interesting, Martin. You and I both listened in, and it was about technology and religion class. And I think there were a lot of great ideas shared there. So, yeah, you can go back and look at the tweet chat room if you want to read through the discussion that was held. And then you can participate next time, and we'll make sure and make mention of that before the May 2nd.
Yeah, mark your calendars down. I almost forgot about this when I just happened to be on Twitter and saw the conversation started here. But Wells Ed is the hashtag that is used. So make sure you bookmark that and participate. It's Rachel does a nice job with this, and kudos to her for you know, dreaming up the idea and then making this thing go. She's always got a set of questions that she's ready to post out there and people respond to, and then the conversation just goes wherever it goes, and people kind of gravitate to kind of their special areas, and it's good to hear from other people what their impressions are of some of the technology used in education.
Definitely. Lots of news coming out of Lakeside Lutheran High School in Lake Mills, Minnesota, especially with their technology efforts there. So we wanted to cover that somewhat today as well. Starting with a video that was released last Friday, it's called Pass It On, and it has quite the story behind it. I heard from teacher Todd Hackbarth, who led this effort, and he told us a little bit of the story. The students wanted to do something fun again. If you remember, last year we featured their lip dub video on the Wells Tech podcast. They did a really great job with that. This year they were hoping to involve others as well and keep the focus on Christ, obviously. So the students and staff were invited to make short videos, 8 seconds or less, where they moved across from one side of the screen to the other. And I know we won't have audio on this, but I thought you could see the idea if I played a little bit of the video on the website. So they came up with these ideas of moving the cross across the screen. as if they were handing it off to the next person in the video, and did it in so many creative ways, including on their calculators, apparently. And, you know, some of them, the video came right off their camera phone or whatever and right into this video mashup, but others got more creative, like this calendar video that you see on the screen right now. It was really up to the kids. They could do anything they wanted. And, you know, obviously there was a screening process. I'm guessing probably not every one of the videos got into to the video, the final cut. But for the most part, they did it and came up, I think, with like 4.5 minutes of video of crosses passing along the screen.
Pretty cool.
And, yeah. The neat part is they want other Wells High Schools to participate. And so at the end of the video, you'll hear them issue a challenge to Luther High School in Onalaska, Wisconsin. They want them to make their own pass it on video and use crosses in their school colors. So the blue that you see in the video is Lakeside school colors. They're encouraging the other high schools to use their school colors, make their own crosses, make their own videos, and keep the meme going, basically. Keep passing it on. And Mr. Hagbarth said he'd even like to mash up all the videos into one gigantic one based on which high schools participate and that kind of thing. Sounds like a really fun, creative project and got a lot of people involved.
Yeah, kudos to those guys and for keeping this very Christ-centered. I think it's not just an educational experience, it's a spiritual one.
Definitely. I saw Bert and Ernie on the video. I saw a guy in a Captain America suit do a flip. There was just all kinds of creativity on that video. So, yeah, check it out.
Weren't enough, Lakeside did some other cool stuff.
Right. They're just full of great ideas. Let's see if I can share my screen one more time. I picked up on this yesterday on their Facebook page that they had a computer recycling day. Look at the number of computers that they generated with this recycling effort. It just goes on and on, these photos. And I had to write for details on this as well. I heard from teacher Ted Klug, and he said, we had two drop-off days where we shared with our community and congregations for the last 2 months. I had a number of people even tell me the radio stations picked up on it in the area. This was the second year that they did a community recycling event at Lakeside, and other Wells High Schools have done similar events, so they jumped on board as well. We initially did it to get rid of some things around our school. During the first year, we saw there was a huge need for it for our congregations, our Federation grade schools, and the overall community. So last year's event filled 2.5 semi-trailers of various tech stuff. This year we publicized better, changed our date to April. It was a 2-day event covering a little over 9 hours of time, and we filled 80 pallets with Gaylords, he says cardboard boxes, that held the stuff almost 6 to 7 feet high. People brought in all kinds of equipment, both old and new. His computer maintenance class, consisting of the students that show tech knowledge and are handpicked by the faculty, is the ones to run the event. They love it because it gives them a chance to serve their Lord in an area they love. They also love it because they can tinker with all the equipment that comes in the door. The best part is that the tech equipment gets recycled rather than ending up in a landfill. We do get some payment for the equipment, but overall it's just a service for people in the community. Tomorrow the trucks will come and pick up the used equipment, and it's off to be recycled. They work with a recycler called Vintage Tech Recyclers out of Illinois, and they've been great to work with for both years that they've used them. And they're looking forward to having another event next April and even discussing adding an October event because of the high demand.
Yeah.
And he says there'll be a video recap coming out on YouTube about this as well. So. Yep. Great
seems
job.
To be the season. I've seen a couple newscasts on this too. Probably not a bad idea for our elementary schools or even churches to do something like this, kind of as a way to get your name out in the community, to provide a service and to do a good thing.
Yeah, great. Kudos to you, Lakeside. Yeah. All right. Julie Duran shared with us a reminder about morgfile.com. Morgfile is a royalty-free image location. And Julie says, just always good to let our congregations know about this resource if they're looking for imagery for their churches or school website.
So. Absolutely. Yeah, I always recommend that in my MLC dynamic presentations class, because everybody's always asking, you know, where do we find good images, especially cheap images that are good? And this is a great resource.
Yep, the price tag is right. They're free.
Yep.
So can't complain about that. Thanks, Julie. Moving on to our DIGO link list, and we have quite a few of links shared there, including some I shared. This is one where they've turned the elements of the periodic table into little cartoons, kind of personified the elements of the periodic table. So this is for the science teachers in the crowd. It was shared on the Brain Pickings blog, so check it out. We heard from someone who pointed us to Gridlines Ordered Pair Game app for the iPad. And so if you're a math teacher with iPads at your disposal for your classroom, this has to do with understanding more about the coordinate planes and finding points and grid lines. It's kind of a game. It's got really good reviews. So check it out if you're interested in that. And then from my dear husband, he said, have you heard of Cubby? Have we talked about Cubby, Martin, on the
I don't think so.
I really liked it right away because it's from the folks that Log Me In. They do great things with screen sharing and security. And Cubby is their answer to Dropbox, basically. So you can get 5 gig of storage for free, and it syncs across all your different devices. They do have a premium version as well, where I think you can get like 100 gig or something. So if you're looking for a syncing tool, similar to Dropbox, perhaps a little easier to work with, you might want to check out cubby.com.
Cool.
Hooray for the cloud.
Thanks to your hubby for Cubby.
Yeah, there you go. All right. A few more links from DIGO. Ryan Rosenthal shared a link to Malaya Hoffman's Wikispaces page, in particular pointing out that she has some really good smart board resources, but there's all kinds of resources along the side. So check out her page for smart board resources. And then he also shared a link to this Piano Lessons for Children website, in particular lessons about famous composers. So you can learn about different composers, perhaps useful for elementary age students, where there's different, a few different composers listed here, quite a few popular composers.
Cool. So, I like that.
Yeah. Martin, you had some links on DIGO as well.
I did. One was a Lifehacker article that was entitled 5 Created Uses for Google Alerts. Google Alerts has been around for a long time, and hopefully it doesn't go the way of Google Reader, but for now they still have Google Alerts. But that's a ability to save searches and to have those searches delivered to your inbox on a regular basis. So I have, for instance, Google Alerts for Wells or Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. So anytime Google finds some new item that qualifies for that search, then it gets emailed to me so I can see what people are saying and, you know, different news around the Synod. So it's a good way to do that. But there are other uses for it other than kind of these what they call vanity searches, find out who's talking about you. But stay up on up-to-date news on different things that you're interested in, following a trending story, search for coupon codes, discounts, and promotions, or even go job hunting. So lots of different uses for it. It's really easy to set up, and I've been using it for, you know, 4 or 5 years, and a great tool. So, and then I found another interesting YouTube video, and I actually found this through my Google Plus account, where the gal in the video is in the post is recommending an add-on for Google Docs. She's a teacher, and what she does is does some voice annotation for her students. So they submit their assignments to her via Google Docs, and instead of marking it up and doing all the writing, she does it via voice. So she'll comment on different sentence structure or different themes or conclusions or introductions or whatever, and she does it all through an add-on that you can plug into your Google apps infrastructure. And all you simply do is you go to Google Drive and you click the Create button, which is the big red button in the upper left. And there's a little link at the bottom that says Connect More Apps. And when you get into here, there's all kinds of apps that we've talked about in the past. Just type on the word voice, and you'll come up with something called Voice Comments from learn.ly. And its description says, give high-quality feedback by making audio comments instead of just text. So you connect that app, and it's free. It's under Teacher and Admin Tools, and then it provides in every document that you open a little button at the top that says Record, and you use your computer microphone, and you record it, and you save it, and then whoever you're collaborating with, let's say in this case a student, they can open up that document, and they'd be able to play your voice comments. So great, I think a great tool for anybody who has their students submitting assignments through Google Docs, the ability to do voice annotation, I think especially probably for English teachers. And it was interesting to me because that's what my wife teaches, and I know Gail does a lot of that too, just the ability to, rather than mark something up, give a voice comment and let the kids hear what you have to say about their work.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time at our keyboards, Martin, and I know it's a relief to be able to actually say something instead of having to type it all out and everything.
Yeah, so there's a little free way to do it right with Google Docs.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing. Okay, we got more to go, guys. Stay with us. Rachel Pearson from Trinity and Waukesha shared Trello. Martin, I think you've
talked about Trello, I think it's pronounced. Okay. Yep.
Thank you. And she picked up on it from the Cool Cat teacher, Vicki Davis, who uses it for multiple things in her classroom. Including project tracking and suggestions from her kids on what they want her to teach them. So lots of fun ideas there. We'll find that link to that article and include it in the show notes as well.
It's just a cool kind of Web 2.0, Web 3.0 even project management tool. So it allows you to, it works with kind of like an index card system. I've tried it before. Mm-hmm. Very simple, kind of fun to use, and you can add all kinds of stuff, images, text, to-do lists, those kinds of things, and then collaborate with people.
Excellent.
And free.
Love the price tag. Mm-hmm. Very good. We heard from Pastor Joel Pankow. Is that how you say his name, Martin?
Panko, I think.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad you're here.
I can provide some small modicum of service here.
Yes, definitely. This is such a cool story because just a few weeks ago, we had Pastor Rob Gunther on. He told us the story of becoming published on Amazon, and Pastor Panko followed suit. He actually even talked to Pastor Gunther, went through the process, and is now a published author with The Stick in the Stone, See Where God Hides Himself, book that he's had in the works for quite a while. And just like that, you can get it on Amazon. So what a neat story. Martin, he also talked about beating you at tennis regularly for
I think it was the other way around, actually.
Oh, okay.
He was a summer vicar of mine down in South Carolina. So it's good that he survived that and actually went on to better things. And now a published author. So congratulations, Joel. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, very good. A couple of Pinterest pins. The couch potato is extinct, talking about the shift to using mobile devices for watching TV, and how we can be selective in what we watch, and interesting change that's going on because of technology. And then another
That's a very interesting one. Yeah, I found that very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Another pin about the psychology of music and how music goes into our brains and how different parts of our brains are affected by music and things like that. Mm-hmm. So for the music teachers amongst us, here's a cool infographic for you. Next up, an update by St. John's in Woodville, Kaukauna, to our WellsTech Wiki. And I thought I had that up, but I don't. But on our WellsTech Wiki, we have links to different online worship opportunities. There's a place for live stream services, archived video, closed caption video, and archived audio and congregation and iTunes. And in particular, the St. John's Kakana Church has archived video available. So anyway, if you're looking for worship opportunities, don't forget to check out this online worship page. And if you have those resources available on your website, please share it here. Create an account on the wiki and do an update just like they did last week from St. John's.
Cool.
And then finally, we wanted to talk about a link sent to us from Pastor Rob Gunther up there at Grace in Kenai, Alaska.
Did he write another book?
No more books this week, but I'm sure there'll be more coming. You probably already know about iPad apps for schools. Actually, I didn't know about this website. It's written by our friend Richard Byrne, who does free technology for teachers. That's right. iPad apps for schools. It's obviously focused specifically on the iPad, and he's regularly sharing great resources that are available for the iPad. The one that caught Pastor Gunther's eye was this Mastery Scan, which allows you to scan bubble test with your iPad and grade them on the iPad. So really quick and easy grading technology using the iPad camera. And we'll have a link in the show notes to more details about Mastery Scan. And it's a free app. So check it out in iTunes.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Wonder, is there anything the iPad can't do?
I was kind of thinking that myself, Martin. It's a pretty amazing tool, but you have to invest time in learning about all the different apps and seeing how they apply. But lots of potential there.
Is that it for feedback?
That is it for this week. Yeah.
A ton of feedback. And we don't want to discourage that whatsoever. In fact, if we just did shows of feedback, that would be awesome. Mm-hmm. If you want to provide that feedback, wellstech.wells.net is the website, so you can comment on shows there and all kinds of avenues to get in touch with us. If you just look along the upper right side of that screen, you're going to see all kinds of little icons that will suggest different ways, probably your favorite way of communicating, whether it be Facebook, Pinterest, Google Plus, email, Digo, all kinds of ways to get in touch with us. Just go to that site and pick your pleasure there. So please communicate with us. We'd love to hear from you. Sally, next week we're going to have one of our semi regular classroom technology correspondents on, Gail Potratz from New London, and we're going to look at closing out the school year and how to do an assessment and analysis of what you've learned and lessons learned, so to speak, and how that might play into your summer planning. So don't want to miss that show, especially you teachers out there who are closing out the school year. So join us then. Sally, thanks again for all your work as usual. Enjoyed it. Hopefully our listeners did as well. And on to show 286 next week. Let's close 285 with the music of one of our favorite musicians, Kevin Lersch, his song Love Beyond All Telling. Thanks everybody for joining us. We'll talk to you next week.
Praise to you who made creation, you who shaped the skies and earth. You named us as your children and carried us to birth. You are near to all who suffer, you are one with every fear. You know our every sorrow and share our every tear. You are love beyond all telling. You are life beyond all death. Formed to be your children from the start, you carry forever in the space beneath your heart. To the ones who walk in shadow, to the ones who live in fear, we sing a God of mercy, a God who holds us near, who is rest for all the weary, who is hope when hope is gone. New freedom for the captive, our story and our song. You are love beyond all telling, you are life beyond all death. Formed to be your children from the start, you carry us forever in the space beneath your heart. You are love beyond all telling, you are life beyond all death. Formed to be your children from the start,